The following is a Theo Group audio production entitled Owning Your Own Power.
It is the beginning, is it not?
It is. Welcome, Theo.
We are appreciative of the opportunity to be of service unto you.
And as always, Theo, we're very happy to have you with us today. Our topic today is owning your power, being your authentic self. How would you like to begin our dialogue today?
It is a time for all humankind to accept the masterhood, the masters that you are, that is the ownership of your own personal power, the recognition of that divine being that is you. It is that fulfillment that is now. For each of you have the opportunity to recognize the divinity that is you, the master that is you. For you all are masters. It is as the Master Jesus spoke, all I can do, you can do and more. And this is the time for this experience in the earthly plane. And so it is within this experience of our teachings that guidance is given. Yes?
Indeed.
You may ask.
What is it about this time now, Theo, that is so special?
It is the full expression of fifth dimensionary energy fully in place about the earth. As we've often spoken, that the third is your physical reality. The fourth is a spiritual awakening, and the fifth is the full expression of masterhood. And you are now in the opportunity and refinement of that frequency to come into the fullness and the fullest expression of your soul. You may ask.
So what does it mean to come into our power, to own our own power?
It is not a negative. Many would think in terms of power as being aggressive. What is in that ownership is being comfortable in your skin, being within your integrated or integrity of self, being the authenticity, the author of your life, being aware of that authorship or authenticity, expressing who you are fully is the gift that is given in the world, not from an arrogant or egocentric point of view, but a centered in selfness. You may ask.
Theo, let's talk about when we talk about the authentic self, why is it so important that we move into this place of knowing the self? What is our life like as we begin to move into this? And give us some tools in order to do so, please.
You are less reactive emotionally, for you've integrated the fragmented aspects of self that are the emotional expressions, and that is what truly runs your life. It is not the intellect. For when one is charged from an outside circumstance and situation, the emotional expression is what is in the truth of the being. And if there's a fragmentation, if there's a belief of not being good enough, if there's a belief of not having enough, a belief of not being lovable, it is projected out in those moments of emotionality. And in that creates a pattern of belief that is set. And through that is the reaction.
So let's talk then about the system that you have shared with us regarding loving the self.
It is a soul integrated process which one recognizes the fragmented aspects or the times and circumstances when core beliefs of not being lovable enough, worthy enough, first began. And so you are reacting at a certain level of experience that was set in that moment or core circumstance. And you are now at a level of a greater awareness. And so when you come into an awareness or a revelation of that core circumstance in which the belief occurred or was created with that moment of revelation, the belief can be changed with the level of understanding and awareness that you have now and beyond, so that you're less reactive in the same manner as you have been in the past. Understanding where it came from, why you react as you do to this stimulus, then you change and recognize that you are worthy of all your dreams and desires. You may ask?
I'd like you to speak, Theo, to the the role of vulnerability in this process.
The ability for vulnerability is power. Most beings think in terms of being vulnerable as powerlessness, and it is the opposite. If you have an openness and you are vulnerable, that you are in your truth, you are speaking from your feeling perspective, from wherever you are. And when you are in touch with the depth of your feeling, you can express a different point of view, can you not?
Mm-hmm.
It is not powerless, it is powerful. Because the truth of your being is a gift you give unto the world. And for an example, if someone asks you a question and you think you should have all the answers, it is unnecessary. You can say, I don't know, but I will find out. Or I don't know yet, and I'll share it with you when I know. That is powerful because you're being in your truth, is it not? It is only the egoic personality that wants to be thought of as powerful when they are not. The power comes from that humility of saying exactly where you are and who you are.
So what is the ego, Theo, and what is the ego's role in all this?
The ego is a part of what is necessary in the world, of the interactions of the world, and it serves as a shield. But it can be overblown, can it not? And very blocking of knowing the true self. It is not bad or right or wrong, do you see?
Right, but is it not it's obviously still a part of us.
It is a part of you, and when you know what that is, which part of you it is, and typically when it is exaggerated, it is out of the need of control of a fragmented aspect.
Right, right. So, you know, when we talk about who are we on a soul level, why did we choose to incarnate and be in these human bodies?
Because of the beauty of the experience in the earthly plane and the human body and the learning of emotions. And each chooses. One cannot judge another, for you know what not the soul's path is. Each soul has a purpose and a reason for being embodied. And that reason is for growth and to experience the at-one-ment, the joy and the experience of understanding the dualities of that are here in emotions and the contrast of that. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Right. Many people today, Theo, are awakening. They're awakening to a more expanded viewpoint, let's say. Yet they're having a difficult time, perhaps, shedding the old paradigms. Let's speak about that.
Shedding the old paradigms are beliefs that no longer serve. And oftentimes it is dependent upon the environment in which one lives. They may have adopted a certain paradigm or belief or a language to belong to that society, that community, that family. And so it is a bit threatening to change the belief, because if they change, they may be ostracized from that tribe.
It can be very lonely.
It can be. But when one is in that truth of self, they will be attracting, because of the frequency they are on, others like themselves. Yes?
Indeed.
Like attracts like. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Does everybody have to experience the dark night of the soul?
Do they have to?
Yeah.
Is it a prerequisite for being a human? Not necessarily, but everybody does. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Kind of
because
part of
it is the experience of humanity, is it not? Mm-hmm. Humankind has the ability to emote. Most do. There are some who have shut that down. But most emote, and it is through that emotion, the learning. Yes?
Right, right. So, the learning of emotions, you've said many times, is the purpose for being here. Is this the only incarnate? Is the human experience the only experience the soul has that emotions are a part of it?
It is a learning of emotions in the earthly plane, yes. For when you are in other dimensions of what bonds call heaven, possibly, there's only love. You see?
And yet,
it permeates all things.
Right. And yet we have so many fears here as human beings.
That is the opposite of love, isn't it?
Right.
And those are beliefs, most often, are they not? The fears, the what ifs, and the other side of that is the why nots, the victimization, yes?
Right.
It's all a part of being comfortable in your skin and it being at home within your divinity. And that is the striving. Many speak of it as happiness. There are many things that make you happy, and there are many opportunities for joy. But what one's truly wish is to be comfortable in their day-to-day activity on the inner, no matter what is being experienced on the outer. So if one is in the calmness of their soul, it matters not what is in the external, for there are always opportunities of growth, what you would call challenges, possibly. Situations and circumstances that expand or contract. But they pass, they change, and you change with them, if you so choose to do so. And then your reaction to them will come from that calm-centered place rather than the fragmented, fearful place. Yes?
Right. So let's talk, Theo, about the toxic relationships or toxic experiences that are in our lives. And how do we weed the garden of the toxicity?
It is by choice, is it not? And it needs not be harsh. It can be honorable in its change. And some is a natural weeding that occurs. As beings grow, they grow apart in different directions, and there's a natural attrition, yes? However, there are some that are very close at hand and dominant, and so it is a matter of maintaining boundaries, yes? And owning who you are and what's appropriate for you. Not letting your boundaries down, not giving your power away. So it is to be aware of your intention behind any experience or relationship. If you're giving your power away, why are you doing it? What is the intention behind it? It is, most often, it is to be accepted and loved. If you're accepting yourself and loving yourself, then you can maintain your boundaries and recognizing that you are worthy of relationships that honor you. So what do you do in changing that? Is changing your beliefs first and foremost. And then there's an energy about you, a radiance about you that those who wish to control and dominate would not want to be in that vibration. Yes?
Right. And I want to talk about the vibration and the energy of it all, Theo. Walk us through a bit of a blueprint, please, for raising our vibrational frequencies as we move into becoming more of who we really are.
That is this natural process of releasing beliefs that are limiting. Many say, well, that's just the way I am. And they're choosing to stay the way they are and not growing or accepting that totality of what we speak. Yes?
Right.
It is all a matter of choice. If you choose and desire that change and wholeness, your soul will draw to you perfect opportunities of that growth. And you will be charged with an uncomfortable feeling when the orphans are acting out, and that is the perfect time to go inside and find out what the core circumstances, core issues are, where they began. And then you comfort that part of self, letting it know that it is loved, will not be abandoned, and you will always give it a voice. And from that point forward, you're no longer unconscious to your actions, to your feelings, and from where they came, and what is the experience in the now, and how are you going to respond? Yes?
Right, and speak to us more, Theo, about the multidimensionality, including incorporating the possibility of previous incarnations affecting this process.
No, it is a multidimensional experience. Yes, you have drawn forward from other circumstances and times as you are in a linear time frame. But there are, in the soul's view, it is not a lifetime that was just had. It could be hundreds of years ago. It is not necessarily in your time continuum as you view it in your physical reality. It is a multidimensional experience, and the soul chooses, these are the issues, these are the things I wish to work upon in this incarnation. And you have an agreement with others for beings incarnate together to support each other's growth. So there is this, as you move on the inner and say, ah, there is no framework for this in this incarnation, allow the self to be open to receive wherever it first began. Not limited only to this time in their linear world. Yes?
Right. And describe to us what is the higher self that we speak of, the over-soul, many different terms, I guess, for the entirety of who we really are. But share with us a little more about that, Theo, please.
The higher self. If you think of the soul like a diamond, a faceted diamond, and it has many facets to show its brilliance, yes? A particular lifetime. Think of the rays of light shining into a diamond. And where it hits is the refraction that shines out and is the energy frequency that is being paid attention to. That is what is occurring in the lifetime. So the diamond in its wholeness is that soul. Yes?
Right. A lot of fear around, a lot of people have a lot of fear around, you know, moving again, going back into the process of moving into the authentic self, and fearful of the changes. What would you say to those that are just comfortable being comfortable, even though they know there's something better for them?
They'll stay comfortable till they are not. The pressure will build. if they've set their foot upon the path of greater awareness and expanded awareness, that comfortableness is not a continuum. Because the little orphans, as we call them, these aspects of self, will continue to act out. And if you're conscious of them, then you make the changes necessary, yes? If you choose not, you will have repetitive patterns over and over again and continue doing the same things over and over again. An example. One is in an abusive relationship, has grown up in an abusive culture, and then keeps attracting abuse into their life. That is a pattern that is repetitive over and over again. How that can be stopped is recognizing where it first began, shifting a belief about the worthiness and the lovableness of the being, the soul, the small fragment aspect that created the belief that they are responsible for that abuse, that they have done something wrong, they are not lovable and they deserve it. When one becomes aware of that situation, that core circumstance where that kernel of belief sprang forth, and then it grew, did it not? Just like a seed in its being brought into other relationships that made it right, made it know, yes, that belief should be strengthened because here it is again, and you must be wrong and unlovable and unworthy, and because you're proving it to yourself time and time and time again. So start at the core. Love that little being that first began the belief or got the belief in the first time it was abandoned or harmed. And the high self, the oversoul, the adult self can reparent that little being, just as if it is a birth child that you wish to nurture. Letting it know it's loved, it will always have a voice. And you will notice as that love permeates a feeling of comfort. And you will notice the reactions and the circumstances and the ownership of your worthiness will change that pattern on the outer world to begin to bring loving relationships into life rather than abusive relationships. That is an example. There are many examples as to worthiness and love. Money is another, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
It is very similar. It is a rewriting of the script of beliefs and language that you use, self-speak, saying that was then and this is now and we can change. Yes?
Right.
You may ask.
We have heard for years the importance of following our bliss, Theo. Let's talk about following our bliss.
That is the impulses and the intuition and the soul's nudge, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And it is at the core of your being. It is your interests, your curiosities, your desires.
As many of us have opened up over the years to heightened psychic awarenesses and abilities, there's been a lot of ridicule when we start to open up and talk about these experiences with those who don't have the ears to hear or maybe haven't had similar experiences. Talk to us about how do we truly become non-attached to the good opinions of other people?
Mm. what you will find is there are many people that are very opinionated. And that is fine for them. But when you know your own self, your own heart, and the worthiness of that, you are not influenced by those beings that would project their own beliefs upon you. Do you understand?
I do.
You can thank them for their information, but you need not take it on as your own. For when ones are influenced by the good opinions of other people, it is to realize it is only a projection of their own fears of themselves. Yes? Oftentimes. On the other hand, if you're seeking information and you're wanting to be taught and you respect one that comes to you, then that is different, is it not? You are asking for the opinion, but there are many who give their opinions freely and they're just projections of their own imbalance.
Right. Right. Coming through their own filters. And how do we, let's go back to some, in meditation, some techniques so you can share with us to clear that filter out so that we can really be bringing in the highest vibrational expression of everything that's available to us.
In meditation, you can affirm as you sit first, feet upon the floor, breathing deeply and exhaling completely, having gratitude and acknowledging that you're receptive to unconditional loving experiences in your life now. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what permeates that screen then would be love, would it not? And good intent. You can always, always understand if you know what the intention is, whether it is from someone else or from yourself. Be aware of the intention and then pay attention. Yes?
Right. So, energy follows attention. Speak to us about how our thoughts become the things in our life, the process of that.
Again, we speak of intention. When you intend something and you're aware of where it's coming from, then you pay attention to what you are doing moment to moment to have that fulfilled. Yes?
Right.
But as an example into the acts, an intention behind an act. For an example, if there's a dialogue between two people and there's upset, there's a misunderstanding, it is always important to have a dialogue with the individual if you're upset or you've misunderstood, to ask, to be aware of their intention, for oftentimes, in miscommunications, one is not understanding true intent. Yes?
Right.
So intention can create, or does create, the power or energy behind what is received in life. Yes? It is the projection in the law of attraction. And the reception is what you pay attention to. Yes?
Right. And if the law of attraction is a secondary law, what governs? What's the primary law governing the law of attraction?
Intent.
It's all about intention, isn't it?
It is.
What can negatively affect our intentions becoming our reality?
Beliefs. Core beliefs about worthiness. One must understand they are worthy. Yes? To be receptive. The key is receptivity. Yes?
Right.
On all things. Whether you wish a home, you must be ready to receive it. Know you're worthy of that desire. If it is a loving relationship here too, the receptivity piece, you may be able to give love out or feel that you can, but are you able to receive it? There's a great lesson in that receptivity, is there not?
Indeed.
So be receptive.
Let's talk about gratitude in this process now.
It is powerful. It is a recognition of what you have now, who you are now, and being grateful for all that has been in your life before and all that is to come. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude allows the heart to be open to receive.
We also start asking ourselves a different type of question, don't we?
Yes, better questions. Yes?
Speak more to that, please.
What you would find is that when you are young, you have a certain level of understanding and you ask certain types of questions. But as you mature and grow, the questions become much more direct and larger from your perspective because you know more now. Yes? And you've experienced more and you have been challenged more and you've come through situations and circumstances, and so you change the questions as you move through these processes of growth. So the questions are more thoughtful. And you relinquish the why question, which is a victimized question, to what? What have I learned? Not why haven't I? What? What have I not done yet? Yet implies there's more room for growth, yes? And your intellectual mind is a problem solver, so you've given it a problem to solve when you're asking those types of questions that are growth questions and not the ones that are in the past or constrictive, yes? Expanding or contracting? What questions are you asking?
Right. And what thoughts are we thinking?
Yes.
And the role of forgiveness, of recognizing that we've actually created that which we think we need to be forgiving somebody of. Speak to that for us, please.
In relationship, you are asking?
Just in general with regard... Well, relationship, certainly, yeah. But in forgiveness of maybe ourselves, too.
Necessarily so, a forgiveness of the self, for there's much judgment on the self, from the self to the self, about perceived inequalities, perceived injustices that have been done or perceived relinquishment of boundaries of self-love, self-acknowledgement. So it is all a learning process, yes? So when one says, I forgive myself for whatever the action was or reaction, there is a release of energy that is being held in every cell of the body. When you forgive another, it is paying attention to their intent. What was the true intent? Did you misread it? And if not, it is a projection of their own pain. Most often, those who lash out, those who hurt others, are deeply hurt within themselves, and that is only a projection of their own pain. When you understand that, it shifts an energy within you for forgiveness' sake, and the forgiveness is for the self, truly, for it frees you energetically from the experience, vibrationally. A master at that is the Dalai Lama, is he not?
Exactly. And how does the Dalai Lama, how did the Dalai Lama become so masterful at being such a great forgiver? How can we be that?
Recognizing how you've been impacted by another, and what great learning has been achieved. What is the teaching? What has one learned? Yes? You may ask.
I want to talk a little bit, Theo, about the process of being the noticer of what we're noticing, the observer of what we're observing or thinking or feeling. And how does that assist us in this process of really owning our power, moving into being who we really are?
That's what we say when you're paying attention to intention and attention, is it not?
Right.
It's observing your actions. Being conscious of your thoughts. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer unconscious when you are an observer. When you're paying attention to your life. Yes?
Absolutely. So, when one has a major decision to make, give us some tools for getting to that place of making that best decision for ourselves. It's in the highest and best good for us.
Pay attention to the feelings in the body. When you think about it, what happens in your body? What is happening in your outer world circumstance that's propelling you to make a decision? Because there's no wrong decision. Understand this. It is only a decision. And if there is an order decision made, the energy of the universe cannot coalesce to bring that forward into your experience. So indecisiveness is a decision in itself, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And things stay the same. There is no change. So what is necessary is to make a decision. But it is to gain clarity on how you feel, what are you thinking, What are your fears? Who is fearful inside? These are all part of the process. But know if you're making a decision, then make a commitment as well. That is part of the decision.
A lot of people have a problem with that. Just the whole process of just getting unstuck. What would you say to them?
It's a choice. And they can remain at the level of understanding and where they are. But if they're being agitated enough, they'll make the change. Yes?
Yeah, and that's really one of the checks and balances in this time that we're living in now, huh, Theo? What's going to happen to us if we don't change? What's going to happen to us if we don't embrace this new way of being, this new paradigm? Talk to us a little more about that, please.
It'll be more uncomfortable because you're not in the flow of the vibration. And so when there's resistance, that which has been in your life, when there's resistance, nothing moves, nothing changes, and there's more uncomfortability within that. May I ask?
So the old saying, Theo, that we become or are the five people we hang around with the most. You agree with that?
We do. It's talking about environment, yes? That saying.
Well, yeah. The people that we hang out with and how they influence us. And
so it is better to be with influencers and where you want to be and who you want to be, rather than what has been, yes?
Exactly.
Particularly if you're uncomfortable and want something different. It's just a recognition, is it not? It's attention to your life.
You know, these times are allowing, Theo, for a heightened sense of spiritual experience, which we'll talk in much greater detail about in other programs, but share with us a little bit. I'm kind of moving into the shamanic realms here in terms of getting to know the self. Tell us a little bit about where we can allow our mind to travel to, I guess, to be able to meet the self at a higher level, to bring these higher aspects of ourselves into this now experience.
A part of this is looking at yourself from a different time frame. Yes? Placing yourself out in your linear time, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, whatever it might be. Who are you in that time? It is a bit of a dream, is it not? But it is also a sense of self that you're expanding. So in essence, what you're doing is having your memory, if you would, your soul connecting us of who you are. So what you're doing is projecting an awareness of you, possibly, if you would, to the future you. And that is creation. And that is an understanding of the possibilities. The shamanic aspect of your being is moving in different dimensional realms, is it not? Moving in different time frames. So you remember what you did the day before. What do you remember of tomorrow? Yes?
Right. Speak more to the different aspects in the different realms.
The mind is an abstract. You can abstract think. You can think of many things at once, yes? So why not make them good things? So often humans only think of what has occurred in the past. And beings think in pictures. So begin to picture that which is positive, not keeping on the track of the negative or what was or the fears of what might be. Yes? Be fully present in your moment-to-moment experience, that is, living your life to its fullest extent. And then you have the awareness, as opportunity presents itself, to accept it. Yes?
So we're kind of placing a picture of who we really want to be and how we want our life to look, and then kind of coming from it as opposed to getting to it.
Yes.
I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more on that for me, please.
Being, as we've often said, be the relationship you desire, meaning be that whole, loving, unconditional, loving to self. And so you are it. You are the essence of that. So you're coming from that lovingness of self, that fulfilled self, to attract that type of relationship, yes? So when you are talking about coming from where you want to be, you are already it. You're just living into the match of that. Yes?
Right.
When you speak of the match of that frequency. But you are already it, you see. You're just coming to the awareness fully in your third dimensional reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as we begin to conclude this sitting, Theo, share with us in as broad and as detailed a sense as possible, what does our life really look like and feel like as we own our power, become our authentic self fully?
As you become the master that you are, there is no discontent. There is only love. And it's not to say that you would not be challenged or have situations in your life experience. It is just that you're dealing with them from that centered in selfness, that loving of selfness, that soulfulness that is whole. And there is peace.
And how do you see us at this time in our evolution, Theo?
If you could see yourselves as we see you, there would be no discontent.
And what does that mean?
The bright lights of your divinity shine brightly. And that is love. You are complete with your asking.
We're complete for now, Theo. Thank you very much.
God's love unto you.
And unto you.
Good day.
Good day.